know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Hi, I'm Rob West. This powerful verse is often quoted when we talk about generosity, and rightly so. It shows us that generosity isn't just a financial principle, it's rooted in the very heart of the gospel. Today, Dr. Nathan Harris joins us to explore that connection more deeply. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Our guest is Dr. Nathan W. Harris. He is Vice President for Strategic Initiatives at the University of Mobile and author of the new book, A Short Guide to Gospel Generosity, Giving as an Act of Grace. Dr. Harris, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on today, Rob. I'm grateful to be here.
The term gospel generosity may be new to some people, so would you take a moment here right at the start to define it for us?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can give you a real simple definition, and it's this. Gospel generosity is generosity that's rooted in the gospel. I can tease that out a little bit more, and I'm happy to do so. But I often say that generosity is not merely a virtue for the Christian life, but really is a cheerful disposition that springs forth from the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Generosity is a fruit of the gospel that arises from new life in Christ. It's something that's empowered by the Holy Spirit, and that we've seen modeled by the Father throughout all of creation. Gospel generosity is that sign of a radical reforming of a believer's head and heart to joyfully serve the Lord through their stewardship or their resources. So the long story short, generosity for Christians is not just about giving, but it's about proclaiming and portraying the saving work of Christ in their life.
Oh, that's powerful. I love the picture that that gives of our generosity as an overflow of gratitude for what Christ has done on our behalf. Now, Dr. Harris, as we talk about giving, people naturally gravitate toward questions about the tithe. So let's go there. Are Christians called to tithe, or are we called to something greater?
Yeah, really asking some tough questions to start this off. There's really no, there are few questions that can provoke a healthy debate like this one. Yeah. But, you know, Christians throughout all the age have asked this question, and I recognize that they've come up with different answers. But for me, as I read both the Old Testament and the New Testament in my Bible, I can't help but conclude that tithing, specifically the requirement of 10%, is not a calling for Christians. And I know, you know, that some listeners are going to be thinking, whoo, I'm finally off the hook. I don't have to give. No, right. That's not the response that we want to have either. We aren't obligated to give. Christians see giving as an incredible gospel opportunity. So in a sense, we're called to something much greater than tithing. We're called to live our lives generously, humbly, selflessly, and with an eye and mind on the kingdom of God.
Yeah, that's helpful. So how then should the gospel transform our hearts, our minds, and even our approach to managing money?
I love that question. You know, there's an old phrase that's often attributed to Martin Luther, you know, the great reformer.
Yes.
Whether he said it or not doesn't matter as much as the content is just so true. And the quote says that there are three conversions in one's life: the conversion of the heart, the conversion of the mind, and the conversion of their pocketbook. And I think it was Spurgeon who later added that it was often the pocketbook that was the most difficult for conversion.
Yeah.
And while I laugh at that, and we may be laughing when we hear those quotes, they should still cause us to pause and think. When we encounter Christ and put our faith in him, we experience a conversion of our heart. Our hearts are filled with the affections for Jesus. We desire to serve him. A heart of stone is replaced with that heart of flesh. We experience a conversion of mind, one that no longer thinks of the things of this world, but is thinking heavenward, as we read in Colossians. And if those things are true, spoiler alert, they are true, then all aspects of our lives experience conversion. And yet, in my experience, I've seen how people submit their lives to Christ while keeping their finances to themselves. So on one hand, they hold out Christ, and on the other hand, they hold their finances out as far as they can away from it. And I think it was Spurgeon, again, to quote him, he said something along the lines of, you can't hold on to Christ while also holding on to your money. Mm. So if the gospel transforms your mind, then your thinking isn't just on your wealth, it's on Christ. If the gospel transforms your heart, then your affections aren't for wealth, therefore Christ. So that gospel transformation that we experience when we come to Christ informs the way that we view money, steward it, save it, spend it, and yes, it informs even the way that we give it.
Oh, that's powerful. What a picture of what our life should look like as a steward, a money manager of the King of Kings. Well, we've just scratched the surface, so we're going to have you back. But Dr. Harris, thanks for stopping by today.
Yeah, thanks so much.
That's Dr. Nathan Harris, author of A Short Guide to Gospel Generosity, Giving as an Act of Grace. Pick it up wherever you buy books. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
There are some mountains most people would not dare to climb. Steep cliffs, unpredictable weather, dangerous terrain. But the most fearsome mountain in history was Mount Sinai. When God descended, all the people trembled. No one dared to approach or even touch the mountain. Psalm 24 asks, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place?" It says, "The one who has clean hands and a pure heart." Only one person meets that standard, the Lord Jesus. He alone has clean hands and a pure heart. And here's the good news. Because He ascended by faith, we can too. We can worship in the place He dwells without fear. Get more daily encouragement for your walk at haventoday.org.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Every single believer is called to ministry. Don't buy the narrative that is limited to a select few. Every single believer is called to execute our King's Great Commission. But let us be about our Father's business. Our nation's greatest and most enduring need is for repentance of the unbeliever. Repentance across the board. Believers who live lifestyles of repentance.
Join Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Delighted to be back live with you today. I just returned from a 10-day mission trip overseas. We took 200 high school students from our church to spread the gospel through a high school choir and some sports teams over in Poland. And we saw incredible gospel fruit as those conversations with high school students there in Poland resulted in decisions for Christ. It was incredible. But I'm delighted to be back with you today and looking forward to taking your calls and questions on anything financial. I miss my time away from this daily broadcast. So just thrilled to be back with you today. You know what? Our goal each day on this broadcast, during this hour in particular, is to really be an encouragement to you. We recognize that money is a good gift from God. It's something that He gives to us for our enjoyment, but it should be finances on purpose. And here's what I mean by that, that when we put money in its proper place as a tool to accomplish God's purposes, boy, we can enjoy it to enrich and deepen relationships. Think a joyful celebration around a meal. I think that's God honoring. I think he smiles when we use money that way. Think giving generously to support people on our path in need, to give to our local church, to give to the ends of the earth for gospel translation and to solve some of the world's greatest problems. Think about deploying capital in faith-based investments in a way that aligns with the heart of God, that creates human flourishing, that supplies capital to business providing goods that are actually good and services that actually serve people. I think that's one of the ways we use this good gift from God to promote human flourishing. It's good so long as it's a tool. Now, here's where the problem comes in. Money is dangerous. If we put it in its in a place it was never intended to occupy, if it becomes the object of our affection, if it becomes a rival to God for our devotion, well, then it can be very dangerous. It can be even seductive. We want to be careful, and therefore we need to make God our ultimate treasure and money a tool to accomplish God's purposes. But when we do that, money is an incredibly powerful tool. Well, each day on this broadcast, we want to help you understand that as you navigate the very practical decisions and choices you're making every day. Maybe you've made some mistakes in the past and you've got some credit card debt you're dealing with. Well, we want to help you get out from under that. Maybe you're thinking about how to invest for the future, given some of the uncertainty and all that's going on in our economy right now. Well, we want to help you do that as well. And in fact, in our final segment today, Bob Dahl, our market expert, will stop by with his market commentary to help you navigate the markets. But call with those questions. Maybe you're thinking about giving generously, but you want to give beyond just cash giving, and you're thinking about how to give as an asset or off of your balance sheet. Maybe you're thinking about wealth transfer and how the money's going to impact the kids and how much you should leave to the next generation. All of those questions and so many more are perfectly in play for our conversation here today. So if you have a financial question, go ahead and call right now. Here's the number. Our team is standing by. Sandy would be delighted to chat with you. We'll get you on the air quickly. The number, 800-525-7000. Any financial questions today, call right now. We'll begin taking those calls here in just a moment, beginning with Lynn in Arkansas, 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. We're ready for you. Go ahead and call right now. Before we dive into those phone calls, though, today in the news, for first-time home buyers, especially Gen Zers in their 20s, student loans and credit card debt are making it more difficult to get into a home. A new study from a collection agency, the Kaplan Group, backs up that finding with some hard numbers. Here's what they found. Since 2007, the average student loan balance has more than doubled, now sitting at nearly $38,000. Over that same period, the national home ownership rate has dropped almost 5%. And for every $1,000 in student loan debt, your odds of owning a home drop by about 1.8%. But there are some encouraging developments for first-time home buyers. It's not all bad news. First, new rules from FHA and Freddie Mac have eased the way, counting just 0.5% of your student loan balance toward your monthly debt load. Some buyers, especially medical professionals, can even have their student loans excluded entirely. However, credit card debt is still a major limiting factor for first-time home buyers. Bottom line, pay off or pay down your credit card balance as quickly as possible. That will improve your chances of being approved for a mortgage. Keep in mind, though, just because a lender says they will approve you doesn't mean it's in your best interest. So make sure you count the costs. Start with the budget. Use that as your guide. Here's a couple of rules of thumb. Number one, let's make sure that we have that 20% down payment. That's going to avoid private mortgage insurance, which does you no good, and it'll cost you about 1% of the loan balance, and it will ensure that you have good equity going in. Second, make sure that that principal, interest, taxes, and insurance payment, the mortgage payment, is no more than 25, at the most 30% of your take-home pay. That's going to ensure that you have plenty left for everything else. I hope that helps. All right, let's dive in. Lynn, I know you have a question there in Arkansas about paying off some debt. Go right ahead.
Yeah, this is somebody that I know from where I shop. She's an extremely hard worker, And I know she's conservative, but I'm not sure on her Christian belief totally. And the reason I'm saying that is for your service that you have. But I think she basically just needs a strategy how to get out of the credit card debt she got into, because she knows that she shouldn't have done it now, you know, because she's anyway, paying for it.
Yes.
But I wondered, somebody told her that I don't remember what the title is, but these places that you go that they help you get out of your debt, that you've got to be careful with them.
Yes.
So I wanted to know, what are the pitfalls of some of those places? What do they do that could get you in trouble? That's why she didn't go to one.
Yeah. Very good. It's a great question, Lynn. I'm delighted you're walking alongside her and navigating this. There's really three categories that these companies fall into that help you pay off credit card debt. The first is debt consolidation. That's where you take out a new loan and roll all the debt into one new loan. Reason I don't like that, some charge high upfront fees. The biggest issue is it often doesn't address the root cause, which is usually overspending or a lack of budgeting. And so 6 months after you do it, I get the call from folks that say, guess what, Rob? Now I have the consolidation loan, the new loan that rolled up the old debt, but the debt's back. And so now I've got the credit card debt on top of it. And so that's the primary reason I don't like that. The second option is something called debt settlement. That's a real problem. Stay far away from that. That's where you will, or you'll be encouraged by the debt settlement company to stop paying, to get into a collection or a past due status. And then they try to come by behind you and negotiate a reduced payoff, but it'll trash your credit in the meantime. Plus, as believers, I think we have an obligation to honor our debts. So what's left? What's the third option? And this is my preferred option. What's called credit counseling. We've had thousands of our listeners, Lynn, that have used Christian credit counselors. You'll find them at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Essentially, the debt stays right where it is. If you're with Capital One, it stays at Capital One. If you're at Citi, it stays at Citi. But they offer a reduced interest rate if you'll work through a nonprofit credit counseling agency like Christian Credit Counselors. You make one payment to Christian Credit Counselors, they send it on to each creditor. But here's what will happen. It'll be one level payment. It doesn't come down each month, and the interest rates will be dropped. The combination of that one payment plus the lower interest rates means you'll pay it off 80% faster. Stay right there. I've got to take a break. I want to get your thoughts on all that just around the corner. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
I'll do some stand-up comedy, Abe will do some preaching, Tim will MC the whole thing, and I'm really excited about it. The Weekend with AFA is a chance for our supporters to get better acquainted with the people and ministry you're supporting.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider. And select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
The political climate in America has changed. We've been given a reprieve, and we have to work together to take advantage of that momentum and effect even more cultural and spiritual change. We can rebuild America. The American Family Association is working to do just that, and when you join with your support, it helps maximize the impact. As our thanks, we'll give you a DVD of biblical financial advice from Rob West called Biblical Stewardship. Please visit afa.net and get started today.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Hi. Hi, I'm Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. We exist to help our supporters to leave a lasting legacy for years to come. We would love to speak with you regarding your situation to help put in place a lifetime income while also giving to the ministry of AFA and AFR. You can reach out to us by phone or email at 1-800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Looking forward to taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, 800-525-7000. We've got just a few lines open. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Lynn in Arkansas. She has a friend who's gotten into some credit card debt, and she's just wondering the pros and cons of the various approaches. Lynn, I shared debt consolidation. I'd stay away. Debt settlement, I'd really stay away. Debt management is what it's typically called through a nonprofit credit counseling agency is my preferred approach, and I shared the reasons why. I would love your thoughts or any follow-up questions you have.
I talked to her the other day, and she said that, I guess I'll just, pay... Once my car is paid off, which will be in 8 months or something, then I can pay more, kind of alluding to the fact that she wasn't going to seek any kind of counseling. Well, I said, yeah, but the problem is sometimes things don't go the way you planned and something comes up and then there's a problem.
Yeah.
And so anyway, ironically, within, I'd say, 3 or 4 days, the company she works for had a power outage in their main place, and they didn't get a shipment last week. I don't know what's going to go on about that, but I'm not saying, like, she'll get fired or anything like that, but, you know, she might get her hours reduced or whatever. It's that you don't know the future.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think that's well said. And the other point here is just why spend any more money on interest than you absolutely have to. And so using a credit counseling program like our friends at Christian Credit Counselors, getting those interest rates reduced, which means a larger percentage of your same monthly payment that you're sending every month is now going to principal reduction, thereby saving you potentially, thousands of dollars in interest, depending on how much she owes. So, I think that just makes a lot of sense. Again, she would just make one payment similar to what she's probably already paying right now, except by way of Christian Credit Counselors, she's going to enjoy that lower interest rate, which just means she pays it off much quicker. So I would encourage her to at least check it out and have them just explain the program in detail. It does not factor into your credit scoring algorithm, the fact that you're in credit counseling. It's not a part of the credit score, so it won't hurt you that way. Now, any cards you enter the program do have to be closed, at least while they're in the program. And, that could cause her score to come down slightly. But that's of little concern to me because, number one, it's going to be a slight reduction, just like if you were to close any other active card that typically follows. But secondly, if she's not out shopping for a mortgage or a new car, it doesn't really matter, and it'll bounce back. And the primary concern that I have is getting her out of credit card debt once and for all and then getting her on a track where she's on a balanced budget and it never returns. And any use of credit cards is just for budgeted items that get paid off in full at the end of the month. So I would encourage her to check it out. Again, it's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They're wonderful folks. They're all believers. And again, we've had thousands of our listeners use them. Okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Lynn. Lord bless you. Jamie's in Ohio, and Jamie, I understand you have a similar situation. Go ahead.
Yes, and you actually gave me a lot of good tips when I was listening into your discussion with Lynn there. And basically, I love Jesus, and I want to help other people. And at this time, I am barely scraping by, you know. We bought a car that is probably a little bit out of our price range, and then my kids are in high school now, so a lot of things just have been getting a lot more expensive. And with the credit card debt, I'm at the top of my game. And it's hard to help other people when you're, you know, just like, crap, are we going to get everything together for this month?
Well, Jamie, here's what I would say to that. I mean, certainly I understand how challenging that can be. I've got three high schoolers myself and one in college, and it's not getting any cheaper, that's for sure. And getting you out of that credit card debt really could be the key to being able to balance that budget on a monthly basis so that you've got, you know, what you need to cover all the other expenses. The other, you know, really key idea, even though I love your desire to be generous, and I think as Christ followers, we should absolutely be givers. You know, we need to get you in a place where you have a fully funded emergency fund of 3 to 6 months expenses. And, you know, that would ensure that when something comes out of left field unexpected, and that it always does for all of us, then, you know, you don't have to pull out those credit cards. And so I think that's where spending some time with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org could be key. My kind of rule of thumb here, Jamie, is if you have more than $4,000 owed on credit cards across all your cards, and that's debt you're carrying month to month, not where you're paying it off at the end of the month. But if you're carrying more than $4,000 at the end of the month, then I would consider a debt management program like the one at Christian Credit Counselors. Getting that interest rate down will be really key. And then that one level monthly payment that doesn't change over time but sends a larger percentage to principal reduction is going to be essential. And then I think, you know, as you begin to pay these off, freeing up that additional money that you can then use to put back into the budget for things, you know, that you have on a monthly basis is key. Now, you mentioned a car, and I totally understand that, because really the three budget busters typically for most people are, number one, your home. That's a little more challenging to solve if you've bought too much home just because of the expense of buying and selling real estate. The second is transportation, and so you're not alone in that. You know, cars, you know, average car payment now is over $700, which is just really challenging. And so, you know, it may be time to look at selling that car and getting out of it and buying something less expensive. The third, which is the easiest to solve, is food. We just, you know, tend to spend, if we're not tracking, more than we should on food. And so take a look at that. But I'd recommend your next step, visit with ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They'll be great. They'll walk alongside you and hopefully get you out of that debt once and for all. Thanks for your call. Tony, coming your way after the break. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Right now, more people than ever are looking for biblical wisdom to navigate their finances, and you can help meet that need. When you become a FaithFi partner, you're equipping believers to trust God, steward His resources well, and live with kingdom purpose. Partners receive early access to our newest resources, our quarterly Faithful Steward magazine, and the pro version of the FaithFi app. Become a FaithFi partner with your gift of $35 a month or $400 a year at faithfi.com/partner.
Are you a new small group leader looking for a strong curriculum? Even if you've been a leader for years, there's always a need for tools to help you as you help others deepen their love for God and their Bible knowledge. AFA Stream is a great resource. With topics covering biblical worldview training, godly marriage, and more, you'll have access to some of the best teaching available. And if you're a Great Commission partner, you open up even more. Visit stream.afa.net today. Stream.afa.net.
Feeling burdened by credit card debt? As faithful stewards, we are called to manage our finances wisely. Christian credit counselors can help with a debt management program that allows you to pay off debt up to 80% faster, while honoring your commitments with integrity. Don't let debt hold you back from the life God has planned for you. Take the first step toward peace and financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Looking forward to taking additional calls and questions today. We've got room for you. If you have a financial question, something you're wrestling with in your financial life, perhaps it's your spending plan, maybe it's getting out of debt, where we've spent some time with our first few callers this morning. Maybe it's investing, retirement, whatever's on your mind today, we'd love to hear from you. Lines are open. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Sandy standing by, ready to take your calls, and we've got several lines open. You can call right now. Let's head to Ohio and welcome Tony. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Good morning, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two questions. So first off, I'm trying to see if I should pay off my mortgage. I've got about $36,000 left. I can pay it off, but I'm also potentially thinking about getting my wife, actually replacing my wife's car. So that's my question at this one. So that's the first question. The second one is with regards to my daughter's college tuition. It's about $85,000 a year. I can pay it, but then my wife was suggesting, well, why not put it in some sort of a revenue interest generating account, for example, take out a college loan, and then when she's done, just pay off the loan. So yeah. I thought, well, I may as well ask. So yeah. Those are my two questions.
Got it. Yeah. So the first question is related to paying off the mortgage. So you owe $36,000, yeah, and you've got, yeah, funds available. Where would these funds come from? Is this just in savings right now?
Yeah, it's just sitting there. It's just cash that I have on hand.
Okay. And, you know, if I were to separate out what I call an emergency fund, which I wouldn't want to pull from, 3 to 6 months expenses, sure, do you have money in addition to that, yeah, that could be used for the payoff?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, right now, total cash is just north of 100,
okay,
that I have, and that, yeah, more than covers my 6 months of living expenses.
Yeah. So if we were to carve out the 6 months, how much would that be roughly, just based on what your average monthly spend is?
Maybe about, I mean, if I took in the tuition as well, maybe about 55 to 60-ish.
Okay. So let's say you've got 40, and so that's right about what you need to pay off the mortgage. And
mortgage.
Then beyond that, you would, are looking at this new car purchase. I certainly don't want to be the one to tell you to reallocate the funds that could be for your wife's car, but I think it's a good question, though. What is the interest rate on that mortgage?
Oh, it's about 2.7 or something.
Yeah, okay. And then on a monthly basis, are you sending anything, either monthly or annually, are you sending anything beyond the scheduled monthly payment to the mortgage?
No, no, I'm not.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, here's the thought is you've got a phenomenal interest rate, as you well know. I mean, that's, you know, it's been years since we've had that interest rate. It became fairly common with those near zero interest rates for a long time. But, you know, we've experienced the last several years, these rates in the sixes and the sevens. The challenge is if you were to then take this money and pay off this low interest rate mortgage, although, you know, that would give you a lot of peace of mind. And, you know, I'm sure you'd be delighted to have that, you know, paid off once and for all. You would replace that likely, I would guess, with either not replacing the car, and you guys need to, you know, would need to talk through that, or with a car loan that would be, you know, perhaps triple that interest rate, certainly double. At a minimum. And so I think from that standpoint, if in fact you're going to go ahead with the car purchase, you know, the better option just in terms of financially right here at the tail end of this mortgage with the vast majority of every payment going to principal and that very low interest rate, you'd be much better off, you know, using that cash to buy the car, you know, outright. If in fact you're going to proceed and take on a car loan as an alternative, if you're just going to delay it and say, listen, we're going to pay off the mortgage and then we're going to take that monthly payment we were sending to the mortgage and we're going to start building up the car fund and just delay it a couple of years. Well, you certainly can do that. And I think that comes down to just your conviction around being out of debt, including that home mortgage. But if you want to proceed with that car purchase in the near term, then I would say let's use that money to buy the car outright, not take on a higher interest rate on that that car loan, and then just focus on continuing to pay off that mortgage over time and, you know, enjoy that low rate that you have. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking as well. So I just wanted to confirm that. So thanks again.
Yeah. Okay. And then, you know, with the college loan versus, you know, investing, the challenge is, you know, the time horizon on that is probably not, you know, in such a way that you would want to invest it. So if you're talking about, let's say, a 4-year time horizon, it's really not long enough for you to put that money at risk in the market. And if you're just talking about high yield savings, you know, with where the rates are today and the fact that they're probably going to continue to fall over time, you're not going to outpace the interest that you'd be paying on that loan. Now, if you happen to qualify for, you know, a loan where the interest would not accrue while she's in school, you know, perhaps that could make some sense, at least to earn some interest and then have that money ready, you know, to pay off that loan as soon as she graduates before the interest kicks in. But that would be need-based aid. And if you don't qualify based on, you know, your FAFSA and the need that you may have in your financial life, then I would say, you know, I don't like the idea of you taking that money that's there for college and investing it, because number one, you know, you'd have to take a lot of risk in order to attempt to after tax outpace the interest you'd be paying on the college loan. And number two, the time horizon just doesn't work, because I'd want a minimum of 5 years, preferably 10 years, for you to invest it and feel good, you know, that if we got into a recession and the market pulled down, you know, 20%, that you'd have enough time for it to come back. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Okay, good.
Awesome. Well, thanks for that advice. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Tony. Call anytime. God bless you, my friend. We appreciate you being on the program today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're going to be headed to another break here in just a moment, so I don't want to dive into another question and cut you off. Rosemary, we will get to your call before the end of the program today, so if you can hold right there, we'd be delighted to talk to you, and same with Jesse. Hey, just a quick thought. You know, the new issue of our magazine, Faithful Steward, is out, and it is chock full of some incredible content. I'm so excited about it. The feature article is on the pursuit of wisdom. You know, wisdom isn't just about insight or intellect. It's about walking with the one who is wisdom itself. We unpack that in this issue. We talk about finding an uncommon retirement. Jeff Hanen has a great article on really a biblical approach to retirement. We talk about temperaments. What temperament are you? You know, that's different than personality, which changes over time. Temperament is hardwired into you by our Creator God, and it affects how you approach money. And boy, Kathleen Edelman has an incredible article on understanding which temperament you have and how that affects your money management, but also how you communicate with a spouse or children or others in your life who have a different temperament as you think about navigating the money conversation. Some other articles we tackle in this issue, is it okay to leave different amounts to my kids in wealth transfer, crafting an intentional inheritance, how Christians should respond when someone owes them money, and much more. If you'd like to receive each issue of Faithful Steward each quarter, just become a FaithFi partner. Head to faithfi.com and click give. It'll help us reach more people as well. That's faithfi.com and click give. Back with our final segment after this. Stay with us.
Why do some hearts respond to God's word while others reject it? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress explores the condition of your spiritual heart and shares the prescription for spiritual health. Then he'll share what it means to follow Christ with complete devotion. Join us for the series Shine the Light this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Is our theology of money upside down? Our vision is that all Christians would see God as their ultimate treasure. You know, it's a game changer of an idea, and we start with this idea that God owns everything, and we are His household managers of what He has entrusted to us. So we own nothing, but we have stewardship responsibilities.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, helping you see God as your ultimate treasure and manage the money He's entrusted to you for His glory. We're delighted you're along with us today. We're going to head back to the phones here in just a moment, but first, here in our final segment today on a Monday, we always enjoy being joined by our good friend Bob Dahl. He's our market expert. He's CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, a leader in faith-based investing. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. Well, Bob, as we kick off a new trading week here, the market mixed. Not a whole lot up or down in any one direction. Tell us what you're watching as you start the week.
Yeah, you know, we're going to get second quarter earnings confessions soon. That is to say, my numbers aren't going to be quite what I thought. We get them every quarter, Rob, as you know. The concern is will we get more than usual, especially from consumer companies. As consumer companies release their first quarter earnings, a lot of them took the numbers down a bit. Is there weakness more broadly? Are we going to see that? The jobs number Friday was mixed in that regard. It seems to me we're getting close to some softer employment numbers, which will affect the consumer.
Yeah. Is this all on a glide path toward perhaps a recession, even a modest recession?
I'd rather use the words a notable slowdown. I don't know that we'll get to a recession, Rob. Let's hope not. That's painful to too many people. But a slowdown, given all that we've put the economy through, is pretty likely. We've talked about it before, but the soft data, the consumer sentiment, the business sentiment numbers really dipped a lot. They've come back a little bit. And they usually are a foretaste of what's going to happen in the hard data, the actual employment numbers, the GDP numbers and the like. We're expecting some slowdown.
Yeah, very good. Bob, how do you see that playing out over the balance of the year then, just in terms of corporate earnings, where the rubber meets the road?
Well, corporate earnings, as you know, were better than expected in the first quarter. But since then, and even on the first quarter releases, numbers have been coming down. And with the uncertainty about the impact of tariffs, those numbers probably come down a bit more, Rob. Again, it comes back to how much of a slowdown do we experience? There are some that are saying that we can look right through this. The worst of it's behind us, and it's going to be okay. We did have a very poor first quarter GDP report. Second quarter is likely to be better, ironically, despite all we've been saying here. It's what does the back half of the year look like?
Yeah. Now, Bob, obviously, you know, we want to be really thoughtful about staying the course with a properly diversified portfolio. But I'm just curious, for somebody in your seat, what sectors are you liking the most as we look at this current economic environment and you're thinking about the money that you're managing?
Yeah, so it's you've heard me say before, common factors are probably more important than the sectors. What do I mean? We want companies with good cash flow, rising free cash flow, and good profitability and measured return on equity. You can find them in lots of different sectors. If I had to pick one sector, Rob, it remains the financials. Stocks are fairly cheap. They benefit the most from the deregulatory environment that we have in Washington, D.C., and they don't have as many bad loans at this point in the cycle as is typical. So financial would be number one.
Yeah. Bob, what about inflation and the Fed? Is there any new data that would give you any reassurance about either of those and where they go from here?
Yeah, so we get an important consumer price index this week. The consensus is it will be up 0.3%, and the Fed's most favorite inflation indicator, the personal consumption, the PCE, that would take that number to plus 2.75, 2.75 year over year. Not horrible, but not close to the Fed's too. And we probably have some more tariff inflation between here and the end of the year. So inflation, not where the Fed wants it, but not horrendous either.
Yeah. Let's talk about tariffs here just for a moment. Obviously, investors have proven to be patient, realizing that these tariff and trade deals can take some time, and they certainly are doing just that. Any reason to believe we're going to start to see kind of a wave of deals coming out, or do you think we need to continue to be patient?
I would distinguish between frameworks and deals. Frameworks are you and I sit down and say, well, it's going to sort of look like this. We'll work out the details later, or we'll get our people to work on the details. Then you get to a deal. But the slip between the framework and the deal is a long process. We have no deals yet. We have some frameworks, but we don't have any deals yet. It's going to take months.
Yeah. Bob, you have some comments in this week's deliberations about tech, and obviously technology was just such a key part of the momentum in the market the last 5+ years, just with AI and so many developments going on from a technology standpoint. What role do you feel like that plays moving forward as we think about the future here in the U.S.?
No question, important. Yes, for the U.S., but remember, most of these companies are global, and the United States is the tech leader in the world. Within the Magnificent Seven, we're starting to see some bifurcation. The companies that have had some issues, Apple, Amazon, Tesla, in contrast with those that are really in the forefront of AI, among other things, Microsoft, NVIDIA, Google, and Meta. So you almost see some bifurcation there.
Yeah. Last question, Bob. For somebody who's new to the idea of faith-based investing, I'd love for you just to unpack briefly how you and your team really look at this and evaluate companies using this faith screen, both on the positive and the negative side, as one factor in determining the equities you're purchasing.
Exactly. I mean, obviously, the overall is how do I line up my investments with my faith? That's what this is all about. The first thing we do is exclusions. Companies that make products that kill or maim people, we will not own. Now, that's not a lot of companies, but it's kind of 5-ish% of the names we look at. But then the more interesting part is what I call the inclusionary side. Who's doing good? How do they treat their employees, their clients, their community? You get points for doing that. So they're the two pieces. What am I against? What am I for? Let's design a portfolio that fits that, along with all the other important, can I say, secular criteria that make the performance of the product work.
Yeah, well, I love it. Money is a tool to glorify God and to bless our neighbors, and that includes the stakeholders of the companies we own. And I'm delighted to hear that you and your team are doing great work in that regard.
Amen to all that. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. That's Bob Dahl. He's CEO and CIO of Crossmark Global Investments. Hey, go sign up for his weekly investment commentary. It's called Dahl's Deliberations. You'll find it at crossmarkglobal.com. All right. Let's head back to the phones. To Texas we go. Hi, Rosemary. Thanks for your patience. Go right ahead.
Just a quick question, please. I remarried about 3 years ago. My husband's wife passed away. She had several royalties. And he's got all of these checks. He can't cash them. They're in his name. He's called the companies. He has sent in her death certificate, and there's no response. But they're still sending us. We are paying the taxes on him.
Mm.
Is he entitled to these royalties?
Yeah, it really depends, Rosemary. It's a good question. You know, royalties can transfer to a surviving spouse, but it ultimately depends upon how the ownership was set up. And so if the spouse was the legal owner or beneficiaries, royalties certainly may continue to the estate or to the surviving spouse. So I think your best next step, and I realize you've done this without any success, but I would continue to contact the company issuing the royalties and review the will or the estate document to clarify who's entitled going forward and what happens to these royalties. Obviously, any royalties that were paid prior to death are reported on the deceased's final tax return. Royalties paid after death are taxable to the estate or the beneficiary who receives them. So if the surviving spouse now receives the royalty, and we confirm that's in fact the way the ownership structure was intended, then the spouse would report them as income on their tax return going forward, and perhaps they could reissue those checks in the name of the surviving spouse, assuming that it's verified that was the way it was set up initially. But ultimately, it's going to involve you getting on the phone or in front of the company that is issuing these royalties to make clear that the deceased is in fact no longer with us, and just clarifying the ownership structure from here on out. That would then drive the taxation on it from that point forward. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. Okay. And there was no will. She left no will. So,
yeah.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay,
unfortunately, you so got a little more legwork involved here, Rosemary, but you'll get to the bottom of this eventually. Just be persistent, and I'm confident you'll be able to sort it out. Thanks for your call today. To Oklahoma. Hi, Luke. How can I help you, sir? Luke, are you with us? Oh, it looks like we're having a little trouble hearing you. Let's do this.
Let me just say, I fell in love with your show when I discovered it recently, so thanks so much for it.
Sure. I've got just about 45 seconds. How can I help you?
Hello?
Yeah, let's do this. Luke, we're going to get you on tomorrow's broadcast, if that works for you. I'm having some trouble hearing you, and I'm about out of time. So stay right there, Sandy. We'll see if we can get you scheduled to be first up tomorrow. Donna in Alabama, I'd love to do the same with you. If you'll hold the line, we'll see if we can get you scheduled to be on tomorrow's broadcast. Thanks for your call today. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. Boy, what a treat it is to be invited into your stories each day. My goal, to help you be a wise and faithful steward, understanding money is a good gift from God as long as we use it as a tool to glorify God and accomplish His purposes. We want to help you do that each day, and it's my hope and prayer that you found something valuable to your financial life today, and that you were encouraged in your role as a steward, a manager of God's resources. Big thanks to my team today, Sandy Dickinson, Devin Patrick, and the great Jim Henry. Appreciate all his support here today as well. Hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. By the way, if you've been on to become a FaithFi partner, it'd be a huge help to us, and we'll send you great resources to encourage you in your stewardship journey. Just go to FaithFi.com and click Give at the top of the page before June 30th. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.